Summer, one of the stories that hit the news is the kind of story that happens from time to time. There's a woman named Beth who spent the day with her fiancé Ran at Downhill Beach. And they went down to the beach with their towels in hand. And as they sat on the beach, Beth took off her jewellery, her necklace, her earrings, and her engagement ring. And she put them in the towel. And then as they were getting up to go, she wrapped the towel up with her jewellery inside and threw it into the car. And it wasn't until they were eating at a cafe that, there's something missing. She realized that, her ring was missing. Check the car, check the towel, nowhere to be found. So down they went onto the beach, searching through the sand at Downhill for this ring. And this is what she said at the time. She said, "I felt so empty." That's how much this piece of jewelry meant to her. Because if it was her earring, perhaps, she wouldn't have been tramping through the sand, I suspect. She would have just left it there and thought, oh well. But this ring meant everything to her because her fiancé and her mum designed it, actually. And what do we do if we lose something that's treacherous, or we find is treasured to us? We go and search for it, don't we? And they stayed, Beth and Ryan, along with a few others, until dark. And then they put it on social media asking for help. And the next day they went back and there's two guys here there from 5 a.m. looking for someone else's ring. That's very gracious, wasn't it? Generous. And the ring is lost. And it wasn't until they were considering giving up again near dark that night, as they were just chatting and waving the metal detectors about, that they heard a beep. And they thought, it's probably another false alarm, but we'll dig anyway. And there under a foot of sand was her ring. And see, they found the ring. What was previously the worst day of her life was now a day of great joy because she had found her treasure. They had to actively search and search and search. They had to do so really diligently, digging up the sand, and eventually they got there. And they were able to celebrate and rejoice because they found this much treasured ring. And it's this idea of a thorough, careful, diligent search that Jesus wants to get through to us today. Jesus treasures us, his people, and he searches for us. See, what we learn today is that God actively seeks sinners and welcomes them home. God actively searches for people like you and me, sinners. He searches for us. Like that ring in the sand, digging, 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 finds us and takes us home because we are his treasured possession. That's our spiritual life of being lost and a sinner, but yet God would welcome us in. And that's our first point today, that God welcomes sinners. So if you're following along with me in the first two verses of Luke chapter 15, before we even get into the three parables that are oh so famous, Luke wants us to know this. God welcomes sinners. They're drawing near to Jesus, these sinners, tax collectors. And the Pharisees, they are muttering in the background. They are grumbling and complaining. Because while Jesus had just eaten with them, do you remember not so long ago at the Pharisees' house at beginning of chapter 14, and here Jesus is with sinners. And they say, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. You know, someone, maybe it's a knock on your door, maybe later on in the evening, and they say, look, I've broken down, can I use your phone? Probably doesn't happen as much now with mobile phones, sure it doesn't, but you might offer them a drink of water, a cup of tea, and a phone if they're broken down or they need a hand. You'd receive them. You'd be welcoming to them in a sense, wouldn't you? But you're unlikely to start up a friendship with that person, aren't you? You'll converse with them, but you'll not let them right into your life to know all that you do, all your thoughts and things. But this word that the Pharisees use about Jesus welcoming is more of a fellowship and a companionship. What Jesus does is more than just hiya, but he's bringing somebody right into him to receive them and to accept them. Not just a kind of vague, oh, come on in there and sit down, but it's a friendship with these tax collectors and sinners. Jesus is bringing those people right into his heart. He loves them. He's compassionate on them. He spends time with them. He knows them. And there's a sense in which he accepts them. Not their sin, obviously, but they're created in his own image, and his heart goes out to them. He receives them, welcomes, and brings them into his heart. but constantly telling them and showing them the need to trust him and repent of their sin. For that is really loving people, isn't it? Giving them a gracious hope rather than this righteous working hope of the Pharisees, which is no hope at all. This Jesus is entering into fellowship and community with the low, the sinners, those who everyone looks down on. Jesus welcomes sinners. God welcomes sinners. And it shows God's gracious character, doesn't it? That a holy God would welcome people like that, people like us, into his very heart. See what the Pharisees say, grumbling. We should say in awe, shouldn't we? This man, Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them. They try to use this as a derogatory thing, but this is so beautiful. It should be the words on our lips that we should be in awe. Jesus welcomes sinners. And as Luke puts his gospel together, what were the last words of Luke chapter 14? Those who have ears, let them hear. And what are the sinners doing? Lending an ear to Jesus. Listening to him. Gathering around to hear Jesus. Jesus welcomes sinners into this most wonderful fellowship and companionship. But we need to see our own sin, don't we? These Pharisees don't see it. That's why they're pointing the finger. Last week we know that the discipleship following Jesus is a great challenge. It's hard and we need to listen to him. See, the church is not for good people. The church is not for good people. It's for sinners. To be a member of the church, you confess and admit just that. I'm a sinner, and I'm deserving of God's wrath, but I have Jesus. The Pharisees look down on others and say, look at Jesus welcoming people like that. They didn't think themselves as sinners. Jesus is meeting with the unworthy, the sinner. He doesn't look down on them, but loves them. They thought maybe themselves, the Pharisees as righteous, these people as unrighteous. But Jesus is stressing the point with these three parables, I receive sinners. And it's so vital that we understand. Do you understand that you are a sinner? That guilt, shame, and regret over past sin in our lives, memories of the things in the past that make us ashamed. Know that you have done wrong, but know Jesus. Because as sinners, we are the very people that are to go to Jesus. Not the people who think they're good, the people who know they're not. Why can we go to Jesus? Because he's welcomed us. He has this gracious, loving welcome and can forgive us of our sin. Because look at the picture of the elder brother in verses 28 and 29. The elder brother is just like the Pharisees here in the prodigal son, isn't he? Verse 28, the older brother becomes angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed an order, yet you never gave me anything. That's the Pharisees, isn't it? Look at us. Look at all that we've done for you. Look at all the good that we have done. They're ignoring who Jesus is for, isn't it? They think they know it. We need to see our own sin, but this elder brother is just like the Pharisees. They don't think these people, the younger brother, they don't think the sinner is deserving of anything from Jesus. And they feel hard done by. They are foolish and deceive themselves, the elder brother and the Pharisees. And their attitude shows that they aren't even righteous anyway. Don't let us be like that. People who think we are good and say, no, Jesus is not for the low. Jesus is exactly for that. We need to see our own sin because Jesus and God welcomes sinners. Because look at how the younger son is greeted then. How is the younger son greeted? Complete opposite of how the older brother deals with it. The father runs out, hugs and kisses him. What a welcome. That is God's welcome to sinners like us. Jesus has more than just a superficial, bland conversation with these sinners. But his arms are open. Welcomes them into his heart in this fellowship and companionship. God welcomes sinners. And so should La Comfort as a church. And we as Christians, welcoming hurting people. The people who are seen as the sinners in society by all the good people. Those who have all the baggage of the day and they're so weary and cast down and burdened. We are to reflect God's character, aren't we, as a church? We are to have a welcoming heart. Inclusive of sinners, yes, but rejecting sin. Are we welcoming? We should be welcoming just as God welcomes us in. God welcomes sinners. And then secondly, God searches for the lost. And we see that very clearly in the first two parables, don't we, with the sheep and the coin. And Jesus is going to use these pictures, and he uses the picture of shepherd throughout Scripture, doesn't he? We've even noted that already today, that the relationship between God and his people is like a sheep and the shepherd. And God searches for the lost like a caring shepherd. So in Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. Psalm 80, hear us, O shepherd of Israel. Isaiah 40, he tends his flock like a shepherd. John 10, I am the good shepherd. This picture of shepherd is throughout Scripture so we would understand. God searches for sinners. Jesus uses John 10 in this to say that I'm the shepherd. And Jesus used this picture of shepherd in that first parable so we would understand exactly what God is like. Here's a man that's 100 sheep. What's Jesus getting at? He's so many sheep, he wouldn't notice one missing. That's basically, it's only one missing. This shepherd's maybe a prosperous one, a wealthy shepherd. One surely doesn't affect him that much. But here, what's the story? This shepherd goes to look for that sheep. Not sending someone else or forgetting about it, but going himself to look for the sheep. The owner is doing that. And it's more than a token search, isn't it? It's more than having a look out into the next field, but it is going past the lake, through the river, down the ravine, into the wilderness. That is the picture it is, because it says about the open country. He leaves to the open country, into that wilderness. The shepherd's going to find his lost sheep. God actively searches for sinners in order that he would bring them home. See, God is the search and rescue, isn't it? Jesus is that search and rescue. In Ezekiel 34, which we started off with today, what does the Lord say? The Lord says, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. It is God who looks, God who searches for the lost. And when we have fallen down into that ditch and we've hurt our leg, who binds us up spiritually? It's Jesus, the good shepherd. It's a search and a rescue. Great effort goes into it. It's so diligent and careful God searches for sinners. And that's what the second parable is about with the coin. Lost in the house. One silver coin's a day wage. This woman had 10 coins. She's lost a tenth. And what does she do? Well, she has great determination to look for something, doesn't she? We know if we lose something, maybe about the house, depending on the value, it depends how much we search, isn't it? If it's not worth very much, we might look for a little bit, and then like, it's not worth it anyway. But just like the ring at the start, and here, this coin, the ring is worth so much. It's treasured. And, well, this woman with her mud house, or made out of stone with the earth as the floor, she gets a lamp and she looks around, she sweeps the ground, and eventually, maybe stuck in the earth somewhere, she comes across just the top of the coin and is able to pull it out. She searches carefully. She is diligent. It's painstaking to look for this one silver coin, but she's not going to leave it and hope she'll stumble upon it. You notice the coin and the sheep and both parables, they attribute nothing to being found. Sure, they don't. They can't. Their recovery is solely dependent on the woman and the shepherd. And, well, that's the same for us, isn't it? The only thing we offer is our lostness. We cannot offer ourselves to be found. God will search and rescue his sheep. Later on in Luke 19, which Philip is actually going to preach on tonight, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. God is going to search and rescue. And this search and rescue shows us God's act of love, isn't it? God's act of love. God is not passive. Just doesn't have a wee glance out, but he goes. like a shepherd running through the wilderness looking for a sheep, or a woman tossing the house upside down to find the coin. God is merciful and forgiving, and he restores sinners who repent. See, in the parable, we can get caught up with the coin and the value of it, the sheep and the one. It's one of hundreds. When the stories are so vivid, aren't they, in describing God's act of love. The shepherd goes to the extremes to search. The woman searches and searches and searches. The shepherd brings the sheep back into his fold to save it. A search and a rescue, such act of love. He carries the sheep on his shoulder. The sheep's not going to wander back or carry it. He is carrying it. Such is the love God has for us. No effort is spared in finding sinners like us. And our only hope of rescue is to be found by God. We all contribute one thing and one thing alone, and that's our sin. Yet God is so gracious to search for us and to welcome us. The perfect Holy One, Jesus, the one without sin, truly God and man, is part of God's rescue plan. His death takes our sin so that we might live, that we might be welcomed into God's family. And God is searching for his people. God has searched for you. Do you feel like the sheep lost? Maybe you feel like you started off kind of close to God or to church, but then suddenly you've looked out in the fields and you see something greener, and you've wandered, and before you know it, in a sense, you're in a ditch somewhere, lying down wondering, where did it all go wrong? How did I end up here? Do you feel like that? Or maybe today you've realized that you're more like the coin and you didn't even know you were lost. Here today is God saying, I'm searching for you. I have found you. Will you come with me? Will you trust in me? Because there's a sense, isn't there, that in the parable of the prodigal son, both sons are lost. One is away off in the world, but the other thinks he's righteous. We can offer nothing. It's only by the grace of God that we are saved. God searches for sinners. God searches for the lost. And so must we, mustn't we, as believers, as the church and the comfort? Let us be people who search for all kinds of sinners. Those who are bitter towards church because of things that have happened in the past. Those who believe that they are righteous and don't need Jesus, let us search for them and show them they need Jesus. Those who reject Christ without a thought because they're indoctrinated by the world, Protestant, Catholic, Muslim, the addict, or those in a broken home, let us be a people that search for the lost. Let us be people who search and welcome them in because Jesus is searching for them and he wants to bring them in too. God searches for the lost, and so must his church. And then finally, we see that God rejoices in repentance, or God rejoices in repentant sinners. Whenever God searches for us and finds us, there needs to be a response. So Leroy, the llama, could have dashed off, but he goes with, because God, the shepherd picks him up. And there needs to be a response. And that's the response shown in the younger son, isn't it? He has squandered his inheritance. He has been lost. He has wandered well away. He has tasted the world. And he returns home and he repents, doesn't he? He confesses his sin. He knows he deserves no favor. And what? How does the father respond? Well, welcoming. The father pours out grace upon grace. And as Jesus is trying to show the Pharisees that they are like the older brother, God doesn't delight in good. God doesn't delight in people thinking they're righteous. God delights in true repentance. God delights in true repentance. And we see that whenever there is repentance, there's joy in heaven. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? The day we believed, there was joy in heaven. Look at verse 7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be rejoicing in heaven. And Jesus knows this. Jesus was in heaven and came down to earth. He's been there when heaven is rejoiced. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons. Verse 10, in the same way I tell you there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is joy in heaven when we come to Jesus, when we repent. God rejoices in repentance, and so must his church. We can easily relate to the joy of finding something lost. You get that girl in her ring. You can imagine the joy she had with that really special engagement ring, how she felt. So how many more million times does God rejoice in sinners like us coming to him? How many more times is heaven rejoicing than us just finding one of our things? Because he treasures us. He searches for us. He laid down his life for us. And surely that in itself is an encouragement for each of us to repent, isn't it? God rejoices in repentance. The heavens rejoice. Doesn't that not tell you just how important this is, that heaven rejoices in repentance? Does this not show us God's desire and God's welcoming heart? That as sinners come to Jesus, he welcomes them. He rejoices. You aren't going to be rejected by God through Jesus. You're not going to be rejected by Jesus if you come with a repenting heart. It's the exact opposite. He welcomes us right into this fellowship and companionship. Again, just look at that response to the from the father to the younger son in verse 20 and 21. So in verse 20, the father saw him and filled with compassion. That word's only ever used of God in Scripture. You get that? Only ever used of Jesus and God. This man is God. This man is this great compassion on his younger son. Why? Because he knows that repentance is coming. And that's what the son does in verse 21. And then in verses 22 and onwards, what is there? There's a celebration. There is that rejoicing in heaven. The father's response to the younger son gives us encouragement because that's the father's response to us. Whenever we are lost and found, whenever we come to Jesus and repent, the shepherd finds the sheep and joyfully carries it on his back. No complaining about the weight, but he goes. There's rejoicing in finding the lost and God's love. The older son is clearly not welcoming of the younger son. Sure, he's not. We get that very clearly. Quite angry, in fact. And that's the warning for us too, isn't it? As a church. Because God rejoices in repentant sinners, so must we. Let us not be like the son, but let us be joyful. God rejoices in repentance, and so must his church. And let us be a joyful people, despite our circumstance. Despite our lostness, where often we feel like we wander away, we return and return to Jesus in repentance. In Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God welcomes sinners like me and you. Not just, oh, come and sit there and let's have a little chat, but right in. Fellowship and companionship, because God has searched for you. God has been looking. He's been scouring the sand, scouring the fields, looking to find his people. So won't you be like the younger son and come and say, Father, forgive me. Repent. Why? Because, well, God rejoices in repentant sinners. What a God we have. What a picture of those three stories where we see God's love and God's grace. Where we see God's act of love searching after us and for us. God actively seeks sinners and welcomes them home. Come on home. God is looking for you. Amen.